All right. Well, I've been looking forward to this, and hopefully you have been too. Great job by the music team, as always. Oh, my goodness. Fantastic. You're a hard act to follow. You know, I do this maybe, twice a year. And, you know, with each time Craig says, hey, can you teach, fill in for such and such, and usually over the few weeks, 2 months, whatever, before it hits. Woo, that got loud. No, I said something to Alexis earlier. She's probably going to harass me the whole time. But, you know, it's funny how it just happens. I'm not a natural speaker. I had to work at it and, et cetera. And none of this really comes natural to me. But it's kind of fun, you know, as I'm starting to do this more often to see how a message like this kind of takes shape and how some pieces come together and et cetera. So hopefully this is not, basically what I want to talk about tonight is the power of the tongue. It's not a very heavy teaching. You can pretty much open your Bible, flip to a page, and you'll probably see it saying something about the tongue and your speaking and your words to each other. So it's a very popular topic. There's a lot on it. But hopefully some of the focus and some of what I feel like the Lord laid on my heart is applicable to you guys here and helps out and something that ministers to you. A lot of this tonight's not normally what I would do, but there's so much out there on this. So a lot of this I'm going to be reading, either between scripture verses or quotes from different people. And again, hopefully that's not going to bore you and put everybody to sleep. But so there's just so much richness out there on this subject and this topic. It was hard not to avoid. Oh, I like that quote. Oh, I like that quote. That scripture verse is good. And I just had to keep putting it in there. Then before I knew it, most of my notes were that. But anyway, let me get started. You know, as a lot of this we all know, but I think it's a great reminder, if anything, and a great refresher to bubble this back up for us to really pay attention to our words, to our tongue, and the power that's in that. Something so small is so powerful. And, you know, the word of the Lord does command us to wield this power wisely. And that's really what I'm trying to talk about here. I'm going to start off, and it's the longest verse, I promise, that I'll read. I want to read James 3, 4 through 11. Because it really sets kind of the table of what our Father has taught us with this. So again, James 3, 4 through 11. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. So do remember that as far as no human being can tame the tongue. And we need to talk more about that. We've got to rely on somebody else to help us in this. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? And then a quote here of the Christian should learn two things about his tongue, how to hold it and to how to use it. And it is a lifelong journey, as I'll say several times through here, to try to mature in that process. Proverbs 18, 20 through 21. From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, I think it's important to note that one of the most important episodes, events that we have in the Bible, in the Word of God, was the day of Pentecost. And what was the center of that day of Pentecost? It was the releasing of the tongues and the Holy Spirit coming down, and then them speaking in different foreign tongues and preaching in those different foreign tongues and manifesting His Spirit and His words and His message out to all the other people and the different nationalities and stuff were there. So earlier it talked about the spark that's going to spark a forest fire. But as, again, the tongue can bring life and the tongue can bring death, which we'll talk more about here in a minute. The day of Pentecost, what did it do? It brought life. Oh my goodness, did it bring life. One of the things I had been thinking of and I just to weave it here for all of 60 seconds that I was going to talk on was the 11 of the 12 disciples, of course Judas hung himself, but 11 of the 12 disciples were martyrs. And Craig talked about this several months ago. If Jesus wasn't real, what he taught wasn't real, come on, at least one of those 11 would have turned back on that, would have turned back on him, would have denied that faith, would have denied that truth. Because each and every one, except for John died of old age, but he didn't live an easy life either. I mean, we're talking these disciples, these apostles, were martyred, were hung upside down, crucified, were crucified in some of the most horrific ways, and beaten, stoned, and et cetera. One of those 11 would have said, oh, okay, it wasn't true. Promise, I deny it, I'm moving forward. None of them did. All of that got sparked at the day of Pentecost. And of course, Jesus' life here and giving his life and what transpired from there. So, just as that life and just as that power were launched there at Pentecost, then clearly who wants this all to fail, which is Satan himself, that enemy, is just as focused on how he can manipulate and control the tongue and ruin that self-control, ruin what comes out of our mouth. And so there's a fierce battle, over that small little muscle, hiding between our lips and our teeth in that little tongue. One other thing I want to throw out as I go forward, and we'll start talking about something. Well, as I go forward is something that wasn't present 2,000 years ago at the day of Pentecost was the written word. They didn't have the Bible written out. They didn't. Most people didn't read. They didn't have books. They go to the library and check out and go and read different things. In turn, they didn't have this. In turn, they didn't have email. They didn't have direct messages. They didn't have text messages. Et cetera, that you throw out there. And doesn't say in the Bible, but I believe as we talk about tongue and speaking life, speaking words, saying the right things, having self-control of that. What you write in emails and text messages and direct messages apply the exact same thing we're talking about here. So just wanted to throw that out. The Bible talks a lot about is that the tongue is a window to your heart. So a quote here, remember that the tongue speaks only what is in the heart. Another quote, it is the tattletale on the heart and discloses the real person. So if that is a window, that is an insight into who I am, is the words that are coming out of my mouth, then how am I going to protect what's inside of me to be that good versus being evil? And really, it's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward, other than a lot of self-control is not easy and not so straightforward. But as far as, we talk about it a lot here at RC, it is what are you feeding your soul? What are you filling it with? You know, I made a note after Alexis talked. I love picking on Alexis. You're just such an easy target. No, seriously, it was really neat what you... No, it was really neat what you shared. And so I quickly opened my laptop and made a little note. You talked about body stewardship. If, most people, I think, were here. But she talked about how she's going through a journey, you know, to try to look for personal health, health for her body and et cetera. And there's probably a lot of other tons of benefits there with that. And then we prayed for some healing, you know, and stuff here. And one of the things that was shared was, or what I want to share is, for us to get that long-term health, and it's not covering in all the cases, but what are we putting into our body? If we're putting in good nutrients, not just processed foods, not just all sugar and all junk and Del Taco and Taco Bell and, you know, and et cetera all the time, then what we put into that body, you're going to get, it's going to reap the good fruit. You're going to get good health coming out of that. And so I really think that's a symbolic thing of what you're going through to look what you're trying to train your body and put what you're putting in and what you want for your outcome is exactly what we need to do with our soul, with our mind, with our heart. And what we put into it, you know, is going to fill us with goodness, for lack of a better word, and then what's going to come out naturally with the tongue is going to be life and good things that come out. You know, one of the things that laid this on my heart was, and I'll be very vague here, but in the last 2 months, there were, and all of us can give examples of this. Oh, my goodness. I guarantee I'd pass the mic. Every single one of you get examples of what I'm about to say. But you guys know me real well. Family is really a big deal to me, really important. Love my kids, love my extended family, friends, blah, blah, blah. But over the last couple of months, there were some pretty really harsh blow-ups within our family. I mean, it was pretty cruel, pretty rough, pretty directed, you know, most of the one who took most of the brunt of that was Lisa, you know, it was not me that was directed at. And it's two totally separate instances, but it was just, you know, as I'm looking back, seeing what God wanted me to share tonight, you know, I'm looking at some of these things, you know, it really stood out to me. And those words that were said were pretty brutal. And again, almost all directed at her. Unfair, brutal. Maybe there's some good nuggets to pull out of that. There always usually is something you can pull out to make good out of it. But they go deep. They hurt. There was a lot of tears. She did a great job of letting a few days in between the instances go by. Let the emotions calm down and then, you know, not let that sink in to make bitterness. And so I'm giving this as an example of where something that was hard but worked and is a lesson that we need to follow is don't let that seep into bitterness. Don't let that seep into a grudge and an offense that builds. I think she did an excellent job, you know, with not letting that happen. You still need to talk those things out. I'm not saying you just go on and tough it out and go on. But what I do want to point out is both of us came back together later after she had a few days to work through it herself. And our number one concern wasn't her being a victim, her being offended. The number one concern was there was something behind the two individuals where that volcano erupted. And that was our concern. You know, we want to help and serve, and where can we... Something was behind this that had really nothing to do with her. There's something going on in her life. And so then our prayer shifted. Our prayer shifted to say, Lord, reveal to us what we can do to help those individuals out. You know, and whatever's going on in their life. Where is there a place that we can interject based on what the Father is showing us in love, you know, in back? So I say all that to say, and the reason I bring it up as an example, the words aren't that important in the end. What's that important is what's going on, what's that window to that heart? That tongue was just a gateway to something that's going on in their heart. And let's move past that and let's see what the Lord's going to show us. And that's just a personal mission for her and I to look and see where can we play a part. Does God want us to play a part in looking and helping on the heart side? So moving on, I've already said it a couple of times. You can be a life giver or you can be a life taker. I think that's a critical theme to keep as we journey through life. And it starts every single day. You get a reset every single day. You may blow it the day before, but you can start over the next day. That starts with the heart, but it is played out via the tongue. So let me start by the negative side here. The negative side here is death. And the tongue does bring death. Your words will bring death. They will bring hurt, and et cetera. So a couple of quotes. The tongue has no bones, but is strong enough to break a heart. So be careful with your words. Another one, a broken bone can heal, but the wound a word opens can fester forever. We've all experienced this. You can probably remember things back from when you were young, of words that hurt and just cut you deeply. And I love this quote when it said they can fester forever if you don't deal with it. So this lesson tonight isn't how you deal with that. That's not my job tonight. We maybe do that another time. But it is something for us to wake up and realize and start exhibiting some love and some self-control and not being the one that's delivering those messages that somebody has to deal with forever. Once those words come out, you can't get them back in. And it's even more so when you do it over this, because they really are out there and never come back. You never get them back or erase them. Don't mix bad words with your bad mood. You will have many opportunities to change a mood, but you will never get the opportunity to replace the words that you speak. Benjamin Franklin, a slip of the foot you may soon recover, but a slip of the tongue you may never get over. I thought that was pretty wise, pretty amazing. Another one that I never really thought about is two of the Ten Commandments. So think of this, Moses. You know, God says, these are the Ten Commandments I'm giving the Israelites and I want you to live by. Two of those Ten Commandments are related to the tongue. One is using the Lord's name in vain. Two, bearing false witness against someone else. So the Lord knew, again, that little muscle behind our teeth and our lips is something that has to be addressed in our lives, in our maturity. Proverbs 25:18, telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. Proverbs 6:16-19, and again, you could pretty much open any book and chapter in Proverbs and you're going to find verses related to this. So I'll keep it to three. But there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. You know, again, three of those out of there: the lying tongue, bearing false witness, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Each one of those is loose lips that's causing that. Proverbs, last one in Proverbs 19:5. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. You know, bringing it back home on a personal level again, which I'm trying to weave in more wisdom here with these quotes and scripture than mine, but again, making it a little more applicable to just stuff. I observe stuff a lot. People don't take credit enough that I actually do try to learn and observe, and it's actually a lot easier to learn from other people's mistakes. Let them make them, watch and see if you can not do that. But you know, we've got some extended, y'all don't know them, but we've got some friends that pretty recently had a major blow up in their relationship. And with that blow up in their relationship had some, which always happens, some very harsh and ugly words that transpired between them. You know, whether that happened out of anger, fear, frustration, who knows. And I'm believing that they will work through their hurt and their emotions and make it through this, but it's going to be close. It's going to be close. There's not even worth going into. I just, again, observing over, again, the last couple of months and what the tongue can do and what those words can do. And then also in this situation, those words wouldn't have bubbled up if there's not something going on in their lives anyway, and their relationship, and et cetera. And then that was just an outpouring. And so my belief is that will be used for good. There will be healing. There'll be restoration. And that will be dealing with stuff that probably was on the surface for a long time. And so it's all going to be working out for good. But, you know, there's no promises to that. We'll see. So I'm going to get the negative stuff out of the way here. So, but a few practical tips on this. And you know, it's the obvious. You hear it all the time. God created two ears. He created one tongue. Listen twice as much as you speak. Great advice, simple advice. God knew what he was doing. You know, another one that takes a lot of self-discipline and just reminding yourself maybe hourly, and then it becomes a habit, and then you just remind yourself daily, and then maybe it's once a week you got to remind yourself, but commit to only saying uplifting words from your mouth. Just commit to it. See, you know, I'm not going to say mean things. I'm not going to say unkind things. Now, maybe you got to shut up and just be quiet and not say anything. But the words come out of your mouth, speak kind words. You know, I've got a friend, Lisa and I grew up with him. His name's Steve. I hope he's never listens because I don't want him to get a big head. But he, great friend, roomed with him in college. Get to see him once or twice a year still to this day. I honestly, looking over my life, I can't remember ever an unkind word out of his mouth. Can you? Do you ever remember anything coming out unkind out of him? I wish, because that's not me. I wish I could say that. That's an amazing, that shows an amazing heart, you know, and a commitment there. All right, so anybody listening on the recording, Israel is so mighty that he can't lift his phone off of the table. And that's a story for another day. I got some weights at home you can start lifting. All right. You know, another one, again, another practical tip. Fill your heart with goodness. Now, I'm actually, I have to watch this. I love cop shows. I love TV. I love watching different stuff. But I have noticed that sometimes, because what's a cop show? It's a bad guy and the good guys get him and justice is served. But you got to live through watching the bad stuff. And sometimes that doesn't do my heart good. I'll watch too much of that. That's a simple example. One for our season that we're in. Craig spoke about this some. Oh, my goodness, how much politics do you watch? How much are you going to watch every day? You can watch 24/7 because there's talking heads talking all 24 hours of every day. But in all seriousness, I got to watch that because I do like and I watch a lot of, you know, where we at, what's happening in the world, what's happening with the next election, what's blah, 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 what's that happening over in Israel, Ukraine, and et cetera. That means a lot to me, and I like watching it. And I don't think that's a bad thing, but I've got to keep it measured so that it doesn't consume me and that it doesn't consume me. And then finally, the fourth little practical tip here is think before you speak. I mean, again, two ears, one tongue. Listen twice as much. Think before you speak. Now, one thing I'll add, and Craig and I have, so anybody knows Craig and I have worked together. We don't anymore, but we worked together in multiple different companies, some that we owned, you know, and carried forward for really 20 years. And he was a great comrade for me, you know, in working to keep me in check. And believe it or not, Craig, I've seen Craig in a parking lot yelling at some people too. I'll tell you that story one day. So we held both of each other in check. We had some of not our mama, we had our daddy in us. But in all seriousness, I say as a practical tip, that written word, one thing I learned pretty early on, especially with emails, write it three or four times, tear it up, write it again, sleep on it, and wait till the next day before and read it again before you send it. That will save you so much grief and problems and backlash and consequences by being cautious with that written word. And I raised my phone because, you know, again, it's the same thing with direct messages, text messages, and et cetera. That's thinking before you speak. It's amazing how you'll react differently after pausing and giving some time before you do that. And that'll help you, which is where I'm going into now. Let's talk about bringing life. That'll help you bring life and help you have some self-control and moderate that. So a couple of other scriptures. Of course, they're out of Proverbs. 15:4, gentle words bring life and health. Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. 18:4, a person's words can be life-giving water. Words of true wisdom are as refreshing as a bubbling brook. And then finally, 18:20, words satisfy the soul as food satisfies the stomach. The right words on a person's lips bring satisfaction. Tons of wisdom in there. And see the positive. So I wanted to start out, let's get the negative out of the way. That's the positive. That's the beauty here. It's easy, actually, to impart goodness, to impart life, to impart positive into people's world. And I wish I had a camera on this recording. You could show little Asher there walking around up front. I'm going to give some other different examples or whatever, but I'm really trying to give you very, very simple, easy little examples that we can do in everyday life. It doesn't have to be dramatic. So we had a guy, his last day of work was on Friday. He actually works for my customer, but we're kind of one team. And I got to meet him in Minneapolis in July. Really liked the kid. All you guys are kids. But he ended up getting offered an incredible job and he's moving on and really is a big loss. He's really, really liked him. But anyway, his last day was Friday. Of course, everything's virtual. You're on a Zoom meeting, you know, and et cetera. And different people were, you know, great. Everybody really was, you know, saying, we wish you the best. It was all real positive, all real good, all real life-giving to this guy. And the little bit I talked to him in Minneapolis, I seriously doubt he was a Christian. It came around, and before the thing was over, and you know, I'll throw something out. I'm this casual at work. I just am. It's just me. There's not going to be puffed up with a bunch of stuff. But I'll throw this out. I'm actually the chief technology officer. Doesn't that sound cool? I'm a C-level executive, you know. So, but I just don't act like that. And so here's an example, but I say this in all sincerity. I did this on purpose. I say I did this purpose. This was not planned. This is listening to the Holy Spirit. This is listening to see how I can impart life with people while you're walking just day-to-day stuff. Because I did not even think of this. I happened to have a glass of water on my desk. And everybody's doing, if you've been on Zoom or Teams or whatever, you can do the emojis and the smiley faces and the crying faces. And people were doing that stuff. And most of these meetings, we don't turn the camera on. So I turned the camera on. And I pointed my finger and said, Marius, this is for you. And so I pulled up my water. And I said, Marius, forget the emotion or the emoticons or whatever. I'm going to stick my finger in here, grab water, sprinkle it in my eyes so you can see the tears running in my eyes. You know, for you leaving, because you're going to be missed. you gave great to the team, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, it's got to have meant something to him. You know, I saw him smiling and kind of blushing and, you know, because he was on camera. That's all we got to do. You know, it's not anything special. It's just the little things to give life. There was another quote here that says, growing in gentleness of tongue is one of the most difficult areas to mature in. So this isn't easy. As it said earlier in the scripture I read earlier, that you can't tame it. Not like we can the animals here on the planet. But there are things that we can do to mature in. One of those, as I mentioned before, feed your soul with goodness. What's that goodness? Easy. Word of God. Read it. Fill your heart with the Word of God. Positive thoughts. Man, I go back to the phone. You know, it's just, there's a lot of good out there. There's tons out there that you can glean that's positive. There's a lot that's negative. So positive thoughts, good things, good friends, good people you're hanging around, good conversations. Don't always get together and just dwell on the negative. All those things are feeding your soul with goodness. Another one, ask the Holy Spirit and be explicit with the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to be your guide. And talk to Him frequently about it. He'll give you those thoughts. He'll be your partner. He'll impart stuff to you like, where did that come from? But that's cool. I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it. Leverage praying in spirit and in truth. So James 4:24, God is spirit and His worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. I believe that verse means that when you're talking about in truth, is you're speaking your prayers and talking with our Father as a friend, as a father, as a companion. You're speaking your words and your thoughts, you know, to Him and communicating. And we've talked a lot, Craig's shared and talked a lot about hearing His voice back and et cetera. The other part of this is in spirit, where it says worship in spirit. And I do believe that's really kind of twofold. I believe that's worship music, singing to Him, you know, and soaking in that music. But even more importantly, I believe that's that prayer language that we teach here. That is an amazing difference that made. I didn't believe in any of that till I was about 19, 20. And it was an amazing change and difference in me to be able to tap into that. And as you're praying in truth and as you're praying in spirit, that tongue's getting trained. And when you're praying in the Spirit, then that Holy Spirit is really training that tongue to align your heart to His ways and His thoughts. So a couple of things there to give you something to focus on and to mature in. A couple other things. Remember that communication is not just about you talking. Communication is also about you listening. It's an amazing, to me, art form that I can watch people, and I'm not good at this, but I watch people that can ask questions that are very targeted, non-threatening, you know, productive questions, not so that person doesn't get put on the defensive, and then they sit back and listen. But they're questions to promote and get people to talk. So a lot of that, when we talk about the tongue giving life, again, I wrap that somewhat too as just communication. You're wanting to talk enough to get the other person to talk so that you can get to know them and to help within their lives or just foster something forward, maybe something you're doing together. Don't get mad at me if you don't like the guy. It's one of my politics side. But And just because I say I like somebody doesn't mean I agree with everything they said. But I'm amazed at Charlie Kirk. Again, don't agree with everything he says. But dude, we're talking a 30-year-old, 31-year-old that's built what he's built. I'm an entrepreneur, been through it, failed, succeeded and failed, you know, both ways. But he also has gone kind of a journey, if you followed him a little bit over the last few years, to where he's reached in and tapped into his faith. And now that faith part of him is playing a very prominent role in what he does in the political world. So what I'm getting to, and the reason I'm mentioning this too, when I say about asking questions, he did a interview podcast with a, and let me back up. So if you know anything about him, he goes to college campuses, is his niche, is his mainstay. And he'll go and field Q&A questions from college students all day long. Tough assignment. You get questions all over the board, people attacking you, et cetera. And he will be more the forceful person. Have you seen him respond? You know, he's not going to back down. Dude will not back down. And he'll come back hard, you know, and saying where you're wrong. Here was a situation that piqued my interest. I really didn't want to watch it because it was, and I can't even remember the name of the show, YouTube show, podcast, but it was by a bunch of younger women who have been in the porn industry, the abortion industry, and some other really just ugly stuff. And he agreed to go, kind of Daniel in the lion's den, in my opinion, he agreed to sit down and be a part of an interview and a part of their podcast show that they did. I didn't make it through, I mean, it was long. It's probably 45 minutes. I probably made it 30 minutes through it. I was absolutely blown away, and this is what I'm telling you about the questions. He turned around, and they were just attacking him nonstop. It was ugly. And he would turn around and ask the most beautiful, loving questions back to them, not defending what they were attacking, but trying to get them to see what was going on in their hearts and to really think through what they were saying. That's an art form, and it's what I'm saying. So as you are looking to walk through life, I just encourage you to do like me and try to start learning of how to communicate with people, how to turn around and not just debate or attack back or launch an arrow here or there. I've got a feeling you do a pretty good job of this, Josh. In all seriousness, of being able to turn around and then ask, you know, ask loving questions back, but loving questions with a purpose. All right, I'll wrap this up. As I said earlier, everybody can give examples of all of this, and it would maybe it's a session for a 5:30 session sometime to pass the mic. But you know, there's examples every day, you know, where the tongue is shaping our world right in front of us every day. Again, I mentioned it, politics, enough said. I mean, it shaped the speaking, the campaigning, the talks, the debates, the press releases, blah, 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 is nonstop. And that is the tongue. That's communication that is shaping our world. Social media. Lives are engrossed and controlled by others in the social media world. It was interesting. She's not in here. Courtney's in here. Courtney's mom and dad were up this weekend visiting with them. Happy birthday, Courtney, was last week, and they were sick last week, so they couldn't come up last week. And it's hers, Brenna's, and Asher's all birthday in the same weekend. But they came up this weekend. Tony, her dad's a really super guy. We were talking last night, and again, I'm not going to go into all the context of it, but he grabbed the phone and he said, 2006, hell was unleashed with these things. And it was like, and he's a funny guy. He was also saying it in humor, but there was also a lot of truth to it. And I say that along with the social media side, you got to keep this in check. You got to keep in check what you're watching, what you're engrossed in, and what you're, because all of that's going to control you. It's going to control your mood. It's going to control the words you say. It's going to control your heart, you know, and et cetera. All right, finally, two more examples, one bad, one good. And, of course, I didn't plan on this one. But, and this one hit home because the shooter in Atlanta at Appalachia High School, you know, it's here in Georgia. It's here in town. That's the county they lived in. You know, we're stone's throw from them, Tony and Cheryl, her parents there, et cetera. My nieces and brother and sister-in-law live there, you know, in that area. So it hits home. But my heart breaks for that Colt Gray. So he was the 14-year-old that did the shooting. So here's where I'm coming at and why I'm mentioning this. It didn't take a rocket scientist to know what several days would be of news coming out of what's going to be from that kid's past. He had a bad home life, bad family, bad mother, bad father, or just, you know, I don't say they're bad, but rough. You know, did not come from a good situation. Bullied in school, all of this, you could pretty much stereotype when these things happen. That's what's coming, bubbling up. What I'm going into this wrapping up of the tongue shaping our world. I'm sitting there picturing that kid's face, you know, the mugshot, you know, that I saw on there. And what could have changed if somebody would have spoke life into that kid? We won't know because it's gone down this path. But a kind word, an affirming word from teachers, and there probably was, but if that had sunk home from parents, from et cetera, two people wouldn't have lost their life and a bunch of people traumatized for life. And this kid in jail for life. Because definitely he was, in his entire life, it looks like, was verbally put down, not affirmed, not built up. That tongue brought death here, not life. Now, fun example. So let's move off the seriousness of that. Yesterday, I didn't see this happening. I was up in the bedroom, didn't see it, and I heard Lisa say, "Oh my goodness, Brenna got hurt." You know, so I kind of ran to the window. And Tony, Cheryl, they were out there. I think they'd have been out there about 60 seconds in the kids, Emerson. So if y'all don't know their kids, they've got 7, Brenna's 5, Adeline's 3, and Asher's, you see wandering around here, just turned 1. So they had gone out there, beautiful day. They're getting their bikes out. Brenna had a little four-wheeler. She kind of rides a little electric car. And Mom was over there in her area. And when I say Mom, Doreen. But now this is, you know, this is what life's about. And this is what's given a life. So there was an incident that happened where, and I wasn't there. I'm hearing Mom tell it. I'm hearing it from Courtney or Tony that was telling it. But that Brenna hopped off of her little car and she raced across the driveway to go give her a hug. Emerson was speeding down the driveway with his bike and didn't know she was going to do that. And he hit her. She sprawled out, skinned her arm, knees, you know, scraped her up pretty good. The reason I'm saying this is this was a moment in time that life could have been given, you know, positive to Emerson or negative. The cool thing was, and it's not on them, they weren't out there, is Tony runs up. Emerson's devastated. I hurt my sister. You know, I don't know if he was crying, but he was upset. And Tony's like, "It was not your fault. Stop. This had nothing to do with you. It was an accident. You're good. You did great. You're helping your sister. This is not your fault." She comes running over there, confirms 2 people, 2 adults, says the exact same thing. "Emerson, chill, relax. We love you. Brenda loves you. You're okay." How easy, and I probably did this as a parent, would it have been for your immediate action to turn around and say, "Emerson, why'd you go so fast? You should slow down. You shouldn't go this fast around people." You know, and et cetera. Because that's just your natural reaction to kind of react that way. And at that time, and that kid's got such a sweet heart, that would have crushed him. Because he was already crushed. He already hurt his sister. So simple. I'm giving you simple examples, I think, for the most part tonight. Because it is that way. We are to mature into controlling our tongue, controlling what we speak, controlling from the standpoint of looking to feed our soul with goodness so that what flows out is goodness, you know, out of that tongue. But then some of it is just looking out in life of how I can affirm, be positive, and speak good things into people's life like Emerson, you know, on Saturday. All right. Love you guys. Hopefully this was good. I didn't go too long. So seriously, love you guys. Thank you for the time. And let me just close us in prayer. Father, thank you so much for, my goodness, all that you do for us. all that you are for us, how much you love us, and how much you are constantly speaking good things into our life. Pray that we have ears to hear. I pray that we align ourselves with your Spirit, and so that we, as a congregation, as a family, as a community, can turn around and speak love, speak kind words, speak truth into those that we walk with every day. In Jesus' name, amen.